Hey, good afternoon, everybody. The title of the shiur today, to get Pasuk relevant to the Ben Hamsarit, with the Finchi Basar B'Tamuz and Tisha B'Av, days that are devoted to mourning over the Churban Beis HaMikdash, and not just the destruction of the temple, but really to commemorate all the tragedies that have occurred to us, to Am Yisrael, over the course of generations. And the title of the shiur is, Are We Still in Galus? And if we're not, what are we in? What is the state that we're in? There's no question that Galus, for generations, at least until our generation, definitely had two meanings. One meaning was geographical, that somebody who is not in Eretz Yisrael is definitely in Galus, or is Chazal term as a Galah. However, Galus is also a state of being. And even when Jews are in Eretz Yisrael, they can be in Galus. If you look at source number 5, this is the Medrash Rab at the very beginning of Sefer Bereishis, when the Torah talks about Va'aretz Ha'isa Tov V'Volu, that land was full of confusion and upheaval. Chazal tell us the Pasuk is referring not just to before Bria'as Olam, but even after Bria'as Olam. And unfortunately there were nations that came along and caused confusion, caused upheaval, caused destruction, and obviously it was the Babylonians, and refer to also the Galus of Yavon, the Galus of Greece. And the Galus of Greece, the Jewish people were living, well, a good portion of them, were living in Eretz Israel. So there's no question there are times that you can have a Galus, even when Jews are living in Eretz Israel. But you have to understand, of course, that when the Galus Yavon happened, the Jews did not have freedom. It was very difficult to keep mitzvos, and Jews had to, most of their nefesh, give up their lives for certain mitzvos, where it reached a point where some Jews actually felt it was all over. This world was finished. We should just think about all Olam Haba, the future world. So the question is, what about now? Now that we live in Medinas Yisrael, where whatever problems there are, we know that there are certain parts of Eretz Yisrael where Baruch Hashem, a Jew is able to keep mitzvot. A Jew is able to keep Torah and mitzvot. He has the ability to. And even though there are certain parts of Eretz Yisrael which we can't, unfortunately, we're not able to live in certain parts of Eretz Yisrael, whether it's the Gaza Strip, or there are certain parts of Yerush Shomron, certain parts of East Jerusalem that were not able to do that. We don't feel sometimes safe walking there. Even during the time of the Second Base of Midrash, Second Temple era, there were times where certain parts of the country were owned, were maintained, were governed by other nations. They speak about, after the Nes Chanukah, the Greeks still were governing certain parts of the country until one of the Malchei Hashmonaim was able to rule over the entire country. So are we in a state right now where we would not refer to those living in Eretz Yisrael as being in Galus, being in exile? Now, the truth be told, I really never thought about this question. And as a matter of fact, as a matter of speech, I would always say, especially the Shabbos HaGadol, Shabbos Shuvah, I would say, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should end the Galus. We should be zochah the Beit HaMikdash to end the Galus. And a number of weeks ago, someone challenged me and said to me, how can you say that we're still in Galus? And I was actually surprised, but I spent a lot of time thinking about it. And not just thinking about it, but when I would bump into somebody, I would say, tell me, one of the questions, are we still in Galus? That was my introductory question. Rabbanim, Talmidei Chachamim, scholars, are we still in Galus? Are we still in exile? And I have to tell you that typically, I receive 3 answers. So I would say that for Jews who would like to describe where we're holding today, there are Jews who refer to the time period since the establishment of the State of Israel as Chalta de Gula, the beginning of the redemption. There are Jews who refer to the state we're into a little differently. They call it Ikvasa de Mashiach, the footsteps of Mashiach. Now, Ikvasa de Mashiach is usually mentioned to say, yeah, there are serious problems. Rabbi Chanan Wasserman spoke about pre-European Holocaust, pre-Holocaust Europe, Ikvasa de Mashiach. And then there are Jews who don't know. So if I spoke to a Jew who referred to the state we're in now as the footsteps of Mashiach, they would say, Gula, Golas? Of course we're in Golas. And if I speak to Jews who refer to this state as the Schal to the Gula of gaining redemption, they say, of course we're not in Golas. How can you call it Golas? But then, that being said, certain people said to me, I don't know. And certain people said to me, yesh v'yesh. They said, listen, we definitely begin at the Geula, however, redemption, however, it's a process. As Yerushalmi says, the Geula will be like Ayelet HaShachar, like the morning star, where we start to see something happening, it's getting a little bit lighter, and then dawn, and then sunrise, until the sun comes out in its full glory. That's the process, as Yerushalmi. So, we, the Geulah has ended, but there's still certain aspects of the Geulah, you know, like a teenager. What's shot in a teenager? What's a teenager? A teenager is very simply that one minute you can talk to this teenager and she can act very mature. And the next minute they act like babies. So sometimes we feel like, you know, there's some very special things that are going on. For example, just an example. Recently, when UNESCO decided that Hebron does not belong to the Jewish people, they decided. So Benjamin Netanyahu, at a cabinet meeting, put on a kippah, and he read from Parshas Chayisara. So someone criticized, how come he took this kippah off? But I think the fact that a prime minister, and not all prime ministers would have done this in our history, can put on a kippah to read from Parshas Chayisara, that already is a sign of the Geula of the redemption. And then, unfortunately, some other things happen, you know, the state of Israel makes certain policy decisions that show that maybe we're still in Golas. It's a process. So then one person said to me, I'll explain to you, he's a person, so personally, how do I evaluate this era? You know, Vasa the Mashiach, Aschal to the Geula, beginning of the redemption. My father referred to this era as the Mafteach LeGeula, the key to the Geula, that we can really open the doors very wide. Unfortunately, the key, we can close it, but Baruch Hashem, it looks like the doors are opening wider and wider. I see the Geula unfolding in front of us as we see Eretz Yisrael getting ready to greet the throngs of people that are going to come here when Mashiach comes. However, that's how I see it. So one person who's in my camp, I'll call him, said to me, Golas? He said, I spent Shabbos in Tel Aviv. It's definitely Golas. Okay? Now, what did he mean by that? Not just, okay, by the way, and that idea, by the way, can exist anywhere, not just Tel Aviv. What do you mean? So I'd like to try to understand and why. It's important to understand, number one, to know what state we're in. Because let's say, for example, if we believe that we're still in Golas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought redemption, where is our Karas HaTov? HaKadosh Baruch Hu has brought so many salvations, and we call it still Golas? That's one problem. Second of all, it's important to know where we're at in order that we can react properly to what we have, in order that we can go ahead and we can do what needs to be done in order to bring the complete Geula, in order to bring the Beis HaMikdash. Now, so therefore we have to ask ourselves, what else do we want? What's important to us? Baruch Hashem, most of us are living in Eretz Yisrael, it's a very big schus. And we understand the quality of life in Eretz Yisrael is so much better, so much more beautiful than the quality of life in Chutz Laaretz, or I would say in Golis, actually. Okay? He says, however, what are we missing? Why do we want the Beis HaMikdash? What are we in the Beis HaMikdash for? Okay, so it's true. We have a Beis HaMikdash, so we can be Makrav Korbanos. Do we really understand what it means to offer sacrifices? We understand what that means. Okay, it's a mitzvah. But do we really understand what it means? Obviously, there's something that the Beis HaMikdash has that goes beyond the Korbanos. Something that we're makrav Korbanos. We offer sacrifices. When we hear the Levim singing the songs on the Dulchan, when we see the Kohanim doing the Avodah, there's something very special that's going to happen. What is that special? So I have to tell you that a number of years ago, I heard a shir, I'm not going to say from who, and he wanted to suggest, the very big Talmud Chacham, that what makes the Beis HaMikdash special? Because we all have our shuls, Baruch Hashem. He says the Beis HaMikdash is special because the temple belongs to every Jew. Everyone has their shul, the temple belongs to every Jew. And I walked away thinking, wow, that's amazing. But after a number of years I thought about it, I don't think that's it. Because if that was it, we can build a shul that belongs to all Klal Yisrael. As a matter of fact, I'll be very honest with you, the plaza in front of the Kotel HaMaravi is to show that the Lord's law is founded strong. And even though there are certain groups that are complaining about this rule or that rule, every place has its rule. The Beis HaMikdash is going to have rules too. And the rules are you have to follow halacha. But the bottom line is, this is a shul that belongs to everybody. There's Kedushas Beis HaKnesses, I'm sorry, in the plaza in front of the coast. There's a shaila about the plaza beyond. Does it have Kedushas Beis HaKnesses? Is it machlokes? Because sometimes on an overflow crowd, they have people davening there, but it belongs to everybody. So I don't think that's what it is. I don't think that's what it is. It has to be something else. And therefore, if it has to be something else, if we really want the Beis HaMikdash, we have to try to think why we want the Beis HaMikdash, and to show by our efforts that we really want the Beis HaMikdash for this reason. And that's where I would like to go with this year. Now, I'd like to start with the Maharal. All we're concerned about is the mitzvos, and we're missing something out. And that's what I'd like to discuss. So before we go there, first I'd like to discuss, are we in Golis or not? So if you look at source number one, and I'm not really going to do most of the sources inside, this is for you to look at if you want. The first source is the first chapter of Netzach Yisrael, written by the Maharal Mifrag. Right? And the Maharal Mifrag says like this. Maharal Mifrag says it is not normal for any nation to be in exile. And he says not only is it not normal for any nation to be in exile, he says it's not normal for any nation to be scattered. A nation is a family that has to come together as one. And the third point he says, it's not normal for a nation to be in their land and be governed by somebody else. And he says that is Golis. Golis is when the nation cannot be in their land, and even when they're in their land, they are being governed by somebody else. So therefore, according to Maharal, there's no question that today we are in Eretz Yisrael. We have a right to do mitzvahs in Eretz Yisrael. Okay? We can't speed in the roads. We can't do what we want in general. But we are able to do Shomer Torah mitzvos. A person chooses to do that. And therefore, according to the Maharal, it's very difficult to say that living in Eretz Yisrael, we are still in Golis. By the way, it doesn't mean that we don't have to fast on the four fast days, the Arbat Somot. It doesn't mean that we still don't have to have a Avelis in the Horbit. Of course we do. We'll come to that. But according to the Maharal, it's very difficult to go ahead and to say that we're still in Golis. Because we live in Eretz Yisrael. And Baruch Hashem, we keep Shabbos. And Baruch Hashem, we daven. And we're learning and we're doing mitzvahs b'nam l'chaveiro. We have that choice. And someone might say, you know, well, who's ruling over us? You know, so the bottom line is, during the time of the Bayis Sheni, the Second Temple era, there were also some of the political leaders were probably worse than our political leaders, some of them. And the fact of the matter is, that it wasn't called Golis. And they were able to keep mitzvot. And the Rambam points out from the time of the Nes miracle of Hanukkah until the Churban. And some of those kings were definitely not on the same level as some of our rulers today. There's no question about that. So it's very difficult to say we're in Golis. And in source number one, I'll just mention quickly, the Maharal says that, you know, when something not normal happens, so then it has to go back to the way it's supposed to be. For example, if someone goes ahead and digs a hole in the ground, so if the hole does not get filled up with something like water or something else, it can get filled up because nature abhors a vacuum. All right, so therefore, there's a vacuum, nature will fill it up. The same thing, if it's normal for us to be in Israel, if it's normal for us to rule over ourselves, and it's normal for us to have a kibbutz goliers to be together, it will happen. Okay, and the truth is, we know that, I don't know if the Maharal could have foreseen this, and there's a lot of Jews that still have to come. And we still have to get back part of Eretz Yisrael that we don't have yet. There's no question about that. The Radak says in Parshat, I think Toldos, that Eretz Plishtim will get back when Mashiach comes. That's what the Radak says. But there's still a part. But that is something which is normal and has to happen. But Golis is defined as not being there, and it could happen, by the way, because the Jews want it today. The Jews want it today, whether they're living in the United States, they're living in England, in France, all over the world. Maybe there are a few countries. And even in Russia, if Jews want it today, they could all come back. They could all come there. And just like during the time of the Second Temple, there were Jews not living in Israel, but it wasn't Gullus, today also. It can't be Gullus because we rule over the land of Israel. And I'll just mention very quickly that the Maral says in Netzach Shom, in source number one, he quotes the pasuk, "Vayomer Hashem al Avram, Yodea Teda, Hashem said to Avram, you should know." And the Medrash says, "Yodea Shani Mefazram, you should know that I'm going to scatter the Jews. Teda, you should know Shani Mekhafsam, I'm going to bring them together. Yodea Shani Mashkanam, I'm going to make them be in possession, be possessed by somebody else. Teda Shani Porkan, I'm going to redeem them. You should know that I'm going to go ahead and enslave them, but then I'm going to redeem them." And he says that the bottom line is that these are the three things that are going to happen when we're in Golis. Number one, we're going to be scattered. Number two, we're going to be ruled over by somebody else. And number three, we're going to be exiled. And he says, and the reason why the Medrash specifies all three, because all these things will revert back to where they're supposed to be. But according to the Maral, says that it's very hard to say the word Golus. You can't, because we're Hashem living in Eretz Yisrael. However, what bothered me about the Maral, we have no space on Mikdash, and I always understood about a space on Mikdash, we're still in Golus. So we look at source number two, the Mishnah Pirkei Avos, says, Terekei Mishnah Tes, Golus Bola Olam, Golus comes to the world, Al Odev Odezorah, Bavili Arayas, exile comes to the world because you worship idols, because of incest, adultery, because of murder, and because we did not keep Shemitah. And the Tiferes Yisrael, source number three, defines what is Golus. So the Tiferes number one says, "Hu ha'onesh ha'yosher kasha sheyuchal lahasik lahalom." He says, if you want to imagine all the punishments, imagine the tochecha, all the suffering. So obviously, when we talk about our families, starvation, cheres, swords, all very difficult. But in terms of a national tragedy, the worst that can be is the Golus. And the Tiferes Yisrael learns that from the Pesukim, at the end of the Sefer Yikra, Parshas Vayikra. Because you look at Parak Chavav, source number four, the Torah is listing off all the things that will happen. He says, "Will happen that if, let's, for example, if you're going to go ahead and you're going to still sin, so pasuk chavtes v'chaltem basher b'neichem, you're going to be so hungry you can eat the flesh of your children, and then I'm going to destroy all your high places." And he says, "And then I'm going to make your cities destroyed, v'ashor shevechem destroy based on mikdash." And the last thing is v'etzchem ezara b'goyim. The last thing mentioned is I'm going to scatter you amongst the goyim. After all the punishments mentioned. Why? Because on a national level, the worst thing for a nation is to be exiled. And that's the Tiferes Yisrael. So he says, but if you go back number three, the Tiferes Yisrael says in Parakei Mishnah Tess, what is it? Sheyechrab HaMikdash, the temple will be destroyed, Sheyiglu Habanim Meshulchan Avihim. And the children will be exiled from their father's Shulchan, and there'll be a mashal l'shmina b'ker of Eretz. Everyone will talk about what happened to Jewish people. So even though Golus, the Maral defines it, is being exiled, which we're not exiled now, the Tiferes Yisrael mentions that there's still something about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. However, during the time of the first base, beginning of the time of the second temple, when the Jewish people the Jewish people came back and built the Beis HaMikdash, it was difficult to say they were in Golus then also. But there's something about the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. And before I go on, I want to point out that even though we're not in Golus, according to the Maral, we still have to mourn. And we still have to keep the fast days, whether it's Tisha B'Av, Shivas Ratamos, Asar B'Teves, and so on. Gedalia. How do I know that? So there's a Mishnah in Sefer Rosh Hashanah, source number six, and you know today we want to know when a holiday is going to be. So what we do is we go ahead and we look at our calendar. It's very simple. Back in the days of the Beis HaMikdash, the temple, post temple, when there would be Mekadesh the Chodesh al Piriyah, they would wait for the Eidim, would see the new moon, and they have to go ahead and they go to Beis Din, and no one knew more than a month in advance what's going to be with that month. Is the previous month going to be 30 days, 29 days? They didn't know.
And therefore, they would have to send out messengers to all of Israel and all of Golan, in order to let people know when Rosh Chodesh was. So most months it wasn't a problem. In other words, okay, Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan, we didn't know when Rosh Chodesh Cheshvan was. It wasn't a big deal. Shabbos is still Shabbos. Rosh Chodesh Teves, we didn't know, it wasn't a big deal. Rosh Chodesh Shabbat, it really wasn't a day. He says, however, there were certain months where you have to know, Rosh Chodesh, he says. And what were those months? Months, obviously the months where there were holidays. Nisan, because of Pesach. Tisha B'Av, because of Chodesh Av, because of Tisha B'Av. Elul, so you know Rosh Hashanah is. And Chodesh Tishrei, of course. And Kislev, because of Chanukah. No one is celebrating the holidays. The Beis Din did not send out messengers every single month because of budget cuts. What does that mean? They didn't have the budget to send messengers out. So only those months were absolutely necessary. So the one month they sent out was Chodesh Av. Why? Because you have to know when to commemorate Tisha B'Av. So the Gemara asks, and how about Tammuz? Shivas B'Tammuz? How about Teves, Asara B'Teves? How about those fast days? So Gemara says, very simply, that they didn't always commemorate those fast days. What does that mean? When the Jewish people came back to Eretz Yisrael after Golus Babel, and when they came back after Golus Babel and they rebuilt the Beis HaMikdash, or they're going to rebuild it, they knew the temple would not be the same temple. As a matter of fact, at the time of the consecration of the second temple, there were those who cried, remember the first temple. They knew. And the question is, do we go ahead? And do we mourn? Do we cry on these fast days? They asked the Nevi'im. And the Nevi'im came back with a response from God. It depends. If it's a time of shalom, of peace, then it should be stashna b'simcha. It should be a time of rejoicing. Because why? There's nothing to be sad about. You have a Beis HaMikdash now. It's a time of shalom, of peace. If it's a time of there's no peace, we'll speak about that in a minute. But, you know, there's really no gzeros, there's no evil decrees. Do what you want. And if it's a time where there are evil decrees against the Jewish people, then you have to fast all those fast days. So, I first want to explain how the Ramban explains this Gemara, then I'll come to the Ramban. There's an important reason why I'm doing it this way. Ramban says very simply, he says, if it's a time of shalom, you know, the time when, you know, there's a Beis HaMikdash, and there's peace, and everyone's doing really well, sasam v'simcha should be rejoicing. If it's a time when it's not necessarily shalom, it might be a Beis HaMikdash, but things aren't going so well, but things aren't that bad, you can do what you want. And if it's a time where there are gzeros, evil decrees against you, then you should fast. The Ramban says that really all four fast days would be like Tisha B'Av. All four fast days, 24 hours, no shoes, no washing, no anointing. The only thing is, when do we have to keep all four fast days like Tisha B'Av? That's when it's the time of Ein Shalom, there's no peace. I'm saying, and there are gzeros. There are gzeros. But in general, we don't have times of gzeros, and therefore, just as a day of tshuva, so three fast days, we only fast during the day, and Tisha B'Av we fast for 24 hours. That's the Ramban Shita. However, according to Ramban, it should seem that during certain times in our history, we should have fasted 24 hours. For example, during the Holocaust. There's a time the Holocaust was definitely, for Jews in America, for Jews in England, who understood what was going on, they should have fasted 24 hours. And my father told me there were Yechidei Skula, who would fast 24 hours on all four fast days during it, once the Jews understood what was going on. They would fast. But in general, we don't pass them like the Ramban. We don't pass like Ramban. Because we didn't fast 24, it wasn't accepted to fast 24 hours when there was a time of Gzeirah. However, we probably pass like the Rambam. The Rambam says like this. The Rambam says something amazing. He says, Shalom, you know what Shalom is? Shalom is not now. Shalom, he says, is Bizman Mashiach. Because even when there was a second Beis HaMikdash, there were still challenges, there were still problems. So there's no Sasum V'Simcha, no rejoicing on these fast days during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. Since the time of second Beis Midrash, when there was Ein Shalom the Ein Zeros, what does it mean Ein Zeros? If there's no Beis HaMikdash, that's a Gzeira. In other words, Ein Gzeira means there's a Beis HaMikdash. He says, but if there's no Beis HaMikdash, he says, according to the Rambam, that's a Gzeira Ra. So according to the Rambam, says, when there was, during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, that was Ein Shalom. because there were still problems. But it was in Gzeiros because it was a Beis HaMikdash according to the Rambam. However, after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, then it's Yesh Gzeiros. There are decrees because there's no Beis HaMikdash. So according to the Rambam, we have to fast all four fast days. However, only Tisha B'Av is 24 hours. And the Rambam says that during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash, they still fasted on Tisha B'Av. They still fasted on Tisha B'Av. Even the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. The Rambam says that's why the Mishnah mentions that they sent messengers out during Chodesh Av, because they had to fast during the time of the second Beis HaMikdash. If you look at the Rambam, the source number 7, the Rambam says, they didn't fast on the 10th. They didn't fast on the 10th of Teves, not Sunday of Tammuz. Ela Rotsi Yisana, those who wanted to fast could, because it was a time of Ein Shalom. It wasn't total peace, he says, but there was an Ein Gzeiros, because there was Beit HaMikdash, Osh Yisana. And therefore, they didn't send Shlichim out for Teves and Tammuz. And he quotes the Pasuk. It was in their choice. But the very end, the Rambam says, the very last line, number 7, while you sanim Tisha B'Av, he says, they were fast on Tisha B'Av, Afalti, even though Shumos or Ratzon, even though they didn't have to fast, they fasted. Why? Because it was Tisha B'Av. And it was a time of Ein Shalom because it wasn't perfect. He said, and therefore they decided to fast Tisha B'Av because Tisha B'Av, Buchbalot Saras, there were so many tragedies that were connected to each other. The Churban Bayis Rishon, the destruction of the first temple, the Gzeirah, the Meraglim, that the spot after that the Jews would all die in the Midbar, and at that time it was decreed the temple would be destroyed. They fasted Tisha B'Av. Because according to the Rambam, it wasn't Gzeiros, because it wasn't based on Mikdash, but it wasn't Shalom, it was perfect. According to the Rambam, when will it be Shalom? You look at source number 8. The Rambam said in Hilchos Tainis Parakei, Kol Hatzomo Se'elu Asim Libatlin Mosh Mashiach. When will these fasts become bottle? When the Mashiach comes. Not when there's a Beis HaMikdash, when Mashiach comes. Below Ode, he says, El Hashem Asidim, that time they will become Yom Tovim Meisosim Besimcha, joyous days. And he says, Kol Amar Hashem Tzvakos, Tzom Revi, Tzom Hamishi, Tzom Shvi, Tzom Asiri, Yilabes Yehuda Lesosim Lesimcha, Ulamuadim Tovim. And then the Rambam finishes off quoting under the Pasuk, for emes v'shalom ahavu, love, truth, and peace. And my grandfather, Moshe Soloveitch, just explained, why does the Rambam feel necessary to add these words? Because you have to understand, what is real shalom? That's only when there's emes combined. And even during the time of the Bayis Sheni, when we had a Beis HaMikdash, it wasn't true shalom. But according to the Rambam, even though, as I said, like the morale, the goal, we're not in Golos, we still have to mourn. The stuck guys during the time of the Bayis Sheni, they still had Tisha B'Av. Today we don't have Tisha B'Av. And according to the Rambam, there's no Beis HaMikdash. You have to fast all four fast days. Three fast days during the day, Tisha B'Av 24 hours. But why did they fast? Because it wasn't a complete Binyan Beis HaMikdash. It wasn't complete. That will happen. The Shalom only be Mos HaMashiach. Alright, so I think we're not in Golos. But there's still what to mourn about. There's still what to do tshuva. Because we don't have the Beis HaMikdash. And the Beis HaMikdash will come and Mirch Hashem, soon after, Mirch Hashem along with that, at least according to the Rambam, will be the Beis HaMashiach. But what is the Beis HaMikdash? Why do we want the Beis HaMikdash besides the mitzvot? And I hear the mitzvot. Why do we want the Beis HaMikdash? So the Gemara in Masechta Shabbos, the Lamed Gimel Aleph, discusses why was the Beis HaMikdash destroyed. And even though the Gemara in Yuma discusses the reasons why the second temple was destroyed, the Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Gemara in Shabbos focuses on the reasons of the first Beis HaMikdash. They do not mention the second Beis HaMikdash because of Sinas Chinam. And the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos, Daf Lamed Gimel Aleph, because of the sin of Shvi Chazdomim, the temple will be destroyed. And the Shechina will remove from Klal Yisrael. And the Gemara quotes certain sukkim. And then the Gemara goes on. And to the second line, of source, the second one, source number 9, because of the sin of adultery, incest, avodah kachadim, and idolatry, v'ashmata shmita miyovelos, and not keeping shmita miyovel, goes bala olam. What's going to happen? Exile. Exile will come to the world. Exile will come to the world. It says, and Magalan also, he says, and will be exiled, uvon acherim, and not just will be exiled, but others will come, the Yoshim ben Komam, and stay here. And even though they really have not been so successful throughout the Golas that other nations should come, there were nations that were living here. Shenemar, the Pasuk says, and then the Gemara says, and please prove why these Averis bring the Golas. And at the very end of source number 9, Gemara says, Va'avo nivlus peh, soros rabos. After talking about the Golas, which is the greatest national tragedy, Gemara talks about profanity. Soros rabos, xeros kadosh, kadosh misachos. But Soros is saying, you think that you went to Golas and that's it? I want you to know, the Gemara says, if you're going to speak in a profane manner, an inappropriate manner, it's going to bring xeros kadosh, very harsh decrees. He says, and unfortunately, many, many Jews will suffer terribly because of that. So, what I'd like to do, number one, is to understand what's the significance of these three sins. And number two, to understand why the Gemara feels necessary to talk about, after speaking about the great national tragedy, the sin of nibble pen, of speaking profanity in an inappropriate manner. Now, before I move on, I just have to mention, even though according to the Maral, we might not be engulfed living there as well, there's no question, there's something called the Galusa of the Shechinta, that the Shechina is definitely in Golas. There's no question about that. As a matter of fact, there's a Medrash from Eicha Rabba. I don't really understand the Medrash so much, but the simple meaning is clear. That, you know, as the Shechina began to depart from the Beis HaMikdash, the Medrash lists off the steps it took from one kruv to another kruv, to the Mizbeach, to the roof of the Beis HaMikdash, and then it stood in the Har HaZeisim for 3.5 years. I don't know what that means. I really don't know. Right? You probably need a whole shiur to learn about that. Okay? However, the Shechina is in Golas. That's the bottom line. All right? And what does it mean the Shechina is in Golas? When the Shechina is in Golas, that definitely affects us also. Why do I say that? There's a very strange Gemara in Masechta Shabbos in the fifth parak. That's source number 10. I have quoted here, not the Gemara itself, but the Ayin Ayo from Rav Kook. And I'm not going to go through the whole piece inside. You can look at it. And the Gemara talks about Yechal Moshe. That after the Jewish people went ahead and the Jewish people sinned the Shivasa Batama with the Egel, Moshe beseeched HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And the Gemara is bothered, what does Vayechal Moshe mean? And one opinion the Gemara seems to say is something which we could never say. But Moshe Rabbeinu Mei Kaviyochol HaKadosh Baruch Hu Sik. What does that mean? What is it? How can you talk like that? And Rav Kook explains something very, very beautifully. Rav Kook says that when the Jewish people sinned and they came down from their high level, the way things should have happened was, HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted, he should have destroyed us, and then started over again. But what happened? Moshe Rabbeinu begged. Moshe Rabbeinu davened. He beseeched. He was crying. Finally Hashem said, okay. But I want you to understand, Moshe Rabbeinu, it's not going to be simple. The Jewish people are going to have to suffer in order to learn their mistake and correct their mistake. And when the Jewish people suffer in order to learn their mistake, it's a reflection on Kadosh Baruch Hu, because we are God's people. So when we have a korban, when we have a tragedy, it reflects on God, and that's the chil Hashem that happens when we suffer, by the way. When we suffer. And therefore, it appeared like a Kadosh Baruch Hu Yaakov was sick. That's what Rav Kook explains. So there's no question, there's the Shechinta of the Galusa. So we might not be in Golas, the Shechinah is in Golas. And when the Shechinah is in Golas, we're affected by it. Because everything that happens to Am Yisrael is because Kadosh Baruch Hu wants us to learn. He wants to bring us back. And that somehow or another, in the eyes of the Ummah, nations of the world, seems to say something about Kadosh Baruch Hu, and maybe there's something wrong, because what's supposed to happen isn't happening. So the Shechinah, so how do we change it? I'll just say one more Gemara. There's also an interesting Gemara that says that the Shechinah right now is in the coastal Maroc. As a matter of fact, the Radbaz, a few hundred years ago, wrote a very interesting tshuva. He asked the question, he said, let's say there's a Jew who has to go on Harabayas to do work. In his days, I don't think anybody went on Harabayas. To work. And it's time for Mincha. And he's on the Harabayas. He had to go. Should he face the Kodesh HaKadoshim? Because that's what he's supposed to face. Or should he face the Kosel Moravi? Because the Shechina is in the Kosel. And he said, he doesn't know what that means, but you have to face the Kodesh HaKadoshim. That's basically it. But there's something that Shechina begulus. So the question is, and what that means, the Shechina begulus, as we said, is the Shechina cannot do for us, or doesn't do for us, what it's supposed to. So what's it supposed to do for us? Because if we want to be submitted, so what we're saying is we want the Shechina to do for us what it's supposed to do, and that, by the way, is what the point of the mitzvot are, because when we do the mitzvot, so that causes the Shechina to give off its bounty and do for us what it's supposed to do for us. So what is the Shechina supposed to do for us? And I think in order to understand what the Shechina is supposed to do for us, we have to again look at what Cook says on this Gemara about the Averos that caused the Churban Bayis Rishon, destruction of this first temple, and the Golos. And Rav Kook said like this. He says the point of the Beis HaMikdash, whether it's for Jews or for non-Jews, and Shlomo HaMelech said when he built the Beis HaMikdash that even a non-Jew can come to the Beis HaMikdash. It's even for them on some level. The point of the Beis HaMikdash is that we as Jews can come to the Beis HaMikdash. We can have istakus, we can cling to the Shechina, and we can be uplifted as a nation. And then when we're uplifted as a nation, we can go ahead and we can inspire and bring the whole world up with us. That's the point of the Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Kook says, when there is Shvichas Damim on a national level, when Shvichas Damim is rampant and there really isn't an appreciation for quality of life, how will the Ummah, so all nations of the world, look at us as a nation, as a model to bring them up? When we become so corrupt, we don't understand what the value of life. That we're not taken aback when we see murder. It doesn't bother us. How can we go ahead? And how can we lift up the nation? The nation says, look at the Jewish people. What are they? They're not an example for us. And therefore, there's no point to the Beis HaMikdash. And in the next Gemara, Rav Kook goes on about Gilui Arayos and Shvichas Damim with the same idea. What's the idea? The idea is the point of the Jews having a Beis HaMikdash living in Eretz Yisrael. And he points out living in Eretz Yisrael as much as we get out of it. Without a temple, we're missing something. We're missing something without a temple. We're missing something. He says, do we have the right values? Are we trying to lift ourselves up? He says, and what does it mean, Gilui Arayos? It means that we don't have family values. He says, the bottom line is that in order to have to be uplifted as a nation, it all begins at home. We have to have the right family values. That's Gilui Arayos. And therefore, when the Jewish people don't have those values, the only way to bring them back is to send them out of Israel. For them to realize there's something wrong. For them to look and see there's another nation. Why are we thrown out? To bring ourselves up. And that's a problem. Because when we submit ourselves to modern Western values only, maybe, we're sort of distancing ourselves from the vision of the Beis HaMikdash. Because it's supposed to bring us up. And Avodah Zarah, I don't think it's on the sheet, but Avodah Zarah, Cook says, the person who worships the Avodah Zarah, that symbolizes a person who has reached the lowest moral level. What is the Avodah Zarah? You know, one of the examples of Avodah Zarah the Jews worshipped was the Pe'or. What's the Pe'or? Pe'or, Chazal tell us, is they used to go in front of the idol and defecate in front of the idol. That was, what does that mean? It means giving into, obviously you have to go to the washroom. We know we go to the washroom, we have to go, we have to be private about it. But giving into your natural instincts wherever you want. And when a person gives into his natural instincts wherever he wants, so then he's not bringing himself up. And what happened was the Jews were showing at that time that they weren't interested in bringing themselves up. And it's the same way also, bringing themselves up. They're involved in Shvichas Damim. Idolatry, not realizing the greatness of family values, bringing it back to what's important. Avodah Zarah. They weren't interested in that, bringing themselves up. And for that reason, they didn't need a Beis HaMikdash. They had to be sent out of Eretz Yisrael. Talking about, can we learn of what their role in life is? About to understand what they have to aspire to. And if Cook says that, you should know that sometimes you can be so low, you can even come back, and maybe it won't work. As, by the way, it happened. They came back, and they couldn't be together as one nation. They didn't have the aspiration of getting along with each other. What's Rav Cook say? I think Rav Cook is saying like this. The Vilna Gaon is very famous for saying that there are three types of sins. We all know, everyone knows, there's mitzvot on the makom, the averus on the makom, if I don't put on tefillin, I don't keep Shabbos, I violated a sin between me and my Creator. There's mitzvot on chaveiro, if I steal, I tell Lashon Hara, I'm not careful about how to treat my friend. But there's a third category. And that category is called mitzvos ben adam la'atzmo. What does that mean? In terms of being a human being, in other words, are you careful to make sure you act in a dignified manner, whether it's in front of people or it's by yourself? Gemara says, I believe in Bava Kamma, that if a person wants to be a chassid, how do you want, not a chassid in the modern term, but, you know, I think that Reb Chaim, in his Sefer, they refer to Reb Chaim as a chassid and as a gaon. So my uncle pointed out that his two brothers, that his brother Shmuel Yaakov has the gaonis of Reb Chaim, and his brother Reb Aaron have the chassidus of Reb Chaim. What does it mean to be a chassid? So Gemara says, you want to be a chassid? Learn Nezikin. Learn me with Nezikin. How not to damage somebody. You want to be a chassid? Learn me with the brachas. How to say the brachas properly. You want to be a chassid? Learn Maseches Avos. What does that mean? There to be a chassid in three areas. One area is a chassid ben olam makom. So I want to be a chassid ben olam makom. Say brachas properly. Recognize the Kadosh Baruch Hu. So I'll learn Mil de Brachas. If I want to be a chassid, then Adol Machaveiro, learn the Zikin, how not to damage somebody. But if I want to be a chassid, I want to be a chassid in the area of an Adam La'atzmo, I've learned the Sechas of us. You know, they tell a story about a certain gum. I don't want to say who it is. From two generations ago, that one time, you know, he was a very good boy. So someone suggested a shidduch, a certain girl. And the girl said she was very progressive. Before she meets him, she wants to see him first. So today, you send a picture. Want to see him first. So, it's okay. So she decided to, they told him, you know, during this time of day, he eats lunch. Right? Go ahead, watch him eating lunch. She came to the window. And as he was eating, I didn't say the story, it's pasta. He was eating with his fingers. Now remember, in those days, eating with your fingers was not as socially unacceptable as it is today. So she says, forget it, I'm not interested. Anyway, this Talmud Mitzuyam became one of the Gaonei Gedolei Hador. I don't want to mention his name. I guarantee you, a few years later in life, he wasn't eating with fingers anymore. Alright? And then, you know, he got married, she got married, and then, I guess his wife died, or he had children, her family was older, her husband died, and she said to him, sent a message, I wasn't zochet to zivug rishon, I want zivug sheni. And he said no. Okay? Again, I don't know, what does that mean? Why am I telling this story? I'm telling this story is because, you know, if a person goes ahead and would never eat, let's say for example, can you imagine if you would go in and see somebody who's eating yogurt? Okay, yogurt. And he's using his fingers using yogurt. Let him imagine. Okay, imagine. Oh my gosh, what's going on here, right? So I would never eat yogurt with my fingers, all right? I have to tell you, I wouldn't eat yogurt with my fingers even in the privacy of my own kitchen. Because, in general, what's considered a level of humanity today is you don't eat that way. Or there's halachas of how you dress, how you walk around your house. Has been utter la'asma. In other words, a person has to lift himself up. He has to aspire to be on the highest level of humanity. And that is in all three areas. And that is why we want a Beis HaMikdash. When the Jewish people sinned because of Avodah Zarah, Shfichas damim, murder, adultery. They showed that they weren't aspiring to be on the highest level. And they were showing they didn't want the Beis HaMikdash, because the ultimate point of the Beis HaMikdash, of all their kabbalos, is when you come close to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, is to raise yourself up. Is to raise yourself up. And that's, you know, that's actually what we aspire to. The Pasuk in Micha, Perek Vav, Pasuk Ches, tells us, He gave La'adam Ma'atov, tell a person what's good, what Hashem wants from him, Ki Mosim Mishpat, Ha'avas Chesed, the Yereisa Hashem L'kecha, says, what does it mean, do Mishpat, you should go ahead and be a proper human being, you should love to do Chesed to people, and also be in awe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. So I think that, yes, it's difficult to say that we're not in Golus. We live in Eretz Yisrael. Baruch Hashem, with the freedom to keep mitzvahs. However, according to the Rambam, there's still a lot to mourn for. What does it mean, Yesh V'Yesh? We don't have a Beis HaMikdash, but it's beyond the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have the opportunity to be uplifted, to be that nation that it can inspire the world. We don't have opportunity. And that will come. That will come ultimately, with Beis HaMikdash. And Rav Kook adds in, I forgot to mention, how about Shemitah? Why did not keeping Shemitah bring the Golus? Because he says that a lot of times in the nation, sometimes we come up with certain ideas, and ideas that are crooked, ideas that are perverse. And we need time to just focus and think about it when we're not pressured day-to-day activities. And that's what Shemitah was for, to give a chance, especially in those days, in that culture society, sit back and think. When you're not pressured down by the everyday activities of work, to think about what our attitude should be, what our focus should be, to bring us up. And the Jews showed they weren't interested. And, you know, we're definitely on the right path. And I think that what we have to do, and everybody knows, I have to think that we have to work on raising ourselves up. Whether it's in terms of, you know, the proper Torah values, whether it's in terms of how to go ahead and act, you know, in a dignified manner, in terms of how we deal with others, in terms of Kadosh Baruch Hu. Because that's why we really have a Beis HaMikdash, to be uplifted. And of course, we talk. You came to the Beis HaMikdash, you were a different person. How it happened, I have no clue. I have no idea. But there's something about all those mitzvahs that brought us up. Something. And I think that besides davening for a Beis HaMikdash, which we should all do, besides davening that all our challenges should end on a national level, besides davening that Kadosh Baruch Hu should somehow, you know, convince in a pleasant way the Jews all over the world to come back to Eretz Yisrael, we should also work on ourselves to bring ourselves up, to uplift ourselves. Because if we work on uplifting ourselves, we're showing we want to be uplifted, we want to be a model for the nations, and then we're showing we want to base on Mikdash. Because ultimately, the point of the base on Mikdash is to lift ourselves up, to become better people, and if we show that that's what we want, hopefully HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring the complete Geula. And you know, we won't say, well, here I felt the Golus, because everyone's trying to work on themselves and bring themselves up. And that, Mitzvah Hashem, will bring the Beis HaMikdash and give every opportunity to always keep growing and be the nation that inspires the world to bring themselves up also. Mitzvah Hashem, we should see the Gula Shleima this year.